Erev Rosh Hashanah, we sort of want to have a look at some Rishonim, some Inyanim that have Shaychus with Rosh Hashanah. There is a Ramban in Vayikra that speaks about the Inyan of Kiyas and Shuas. The Rabbeinu Bechaya does it, the Rabbeinu Bechaya explains it. He sort of paraphrases it and says it also over there. The Rabbeinu Bechaya is in Vayikra, in Emor, in the Parsha. And I want to use it a little bit to understand the Inyan of the Yom. I'm using Rabbeinu Bechaya because he's a little bit more, he's a little more clear than the Ramban, but it's very similar in the Kudus. Okay, Zichron Trua. The Pasuk calls Rosh Hashanah Yom Zichron Trua. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, and it, if we look at the Psukim, Rosh Hashanah is the most mysterious Yom Tov. The Psukim give us no inkling of what Rosh Hashanah is. Doesn't say anything about it. And it's interesting, by the way, another note, the Inyanim of Tekiyas are written in Parshas Pinchas, as opposed to all the other mitzvahs, Hayom, which are written in Parshas Emor. The general rule is Parshas Emor has the Moadim in terms of the specific mitzvahs, whether it's Lulav, whether it's Sukkah, so on. And Parshas Pinchas is the Karbanis. The exception is Rosh Hashanah. And the Pasuk really, really says nothing about Rosh Hashanah, why we blow, what we blow, how we blow. It either calls it Zichron Trua or Yom Trua. That's all. So Rabbeinu Bechaya says, V'loi bi'alonu ha-kosuv, v'meti ha-trua, im b'shef im b'chatzoytzis. The Pasuk did not tell us what makes the Trua. Shef ha-chatzoytzis. We have two things that make a Trua, Shef and chatzoytzis. V'chein tam ha-trua, lama v'alma. What's the reason for the Trua? V'gam lo bi'er shehayim azo yom adin. And more than that, we've made such a big deal of it being a yom adin, it doesn't say it. By the way, it doesn't say that it's the beginning of the year either. It doesn't say anything about being the beginning of the year. Says this is a day, the first day of the seventh month, blow Shefa. V'sasem ha-kosu b'shtei milos elu zichron Trua v'somach ala kabbalah. The Torah relied on the Mesoras, Baal Peh. Kilemasa akotel chachamim. Vein kibush atrua zeis b'shefer m'zeyashov le trua trua magabe yevul avata shefer trua u'maasem b'shefer afkan b'shefer. This is a side point, but a point that it's kedai to keep making. When people say they live by the Bible, they, a fundamentalist type of person, they are doing that which is wrong. I'll give you a mashal. If somebody publishes a book, then we assume that that's what the person meant and that's what he's saying. And, you know, sometimes there are ambiguities, sometimes there are things that were misrepresented. But by and large, it's a very, very powerful expression of what it is that he wants. However, let's say somebody has notes that he's using for a speech. So publishing those notes are almost a deliberate distortion of what it is that he believes, because usually they are just meant to be little clues, little cues for him to speak from, and it's not meant to explain itself. When we say we got two Torahs, it's not true. We got one Torah that has two halves to it. Liharaya, somebody will come along and take a look how and take a look how the same point is we're looking for one side, it's a chizuk emunah, look one side, it's api karsis. Somebody will come along to you and badge you and say, oh, this whole Rosh Hashanah thing in Yom HaDin and Tshuva and Sechus, it's all a late invention, the Torah doesn't mention a word about it, nothing. You know, so obviously all this has come on later. That fact, flip it around and say, well, the Torah has great Yom Tovim, commemorating very important events, Pesach and Shavuos, Sukkot, all of these are related either to the harvest, they're related to Yitzhak Mitzrayim, they're related to this, to that, the other thing. Comes along on the first day of the seventh month, blow Shefer, and nothing, klum. I mean, was it just kind of, obviously, it has meaning to it, and the meaning is not written, don't you see that there must have been a Mesiris? If we believe that Torah is ben Hashemayim, and it will only, in the question of the only Torah Shal Kedah HaSab, didn't they have to, the first guy who read the Torah, got it from Moshe Rabbeinu, this guy said, he said, Rabbi Hashem, I mean, all these holidays make a lot of sense, but what's this blowing a ram's horn on the first day of some month? What is some month? What happened some month? Who died? Whose yahrzeit is it? I mean, what's going on? Obviously, it was given, the Torah was given as one Torah consisting of written points and oral explanations. Why certain things, the Mishnah Chagiga says there are certain things, the Mishnah Chagiga divides up the relationship between Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat Ksav. And there are some things that almost everything is a pasuk, and a little bit is Torah Shabbat Peh. There's some things that are completely Torah Shabbat Peh, the Harim Atlein Besaris, and so on. There are, why certain things are this way or the other way, sometimes there are explanations, sometimes not. One can say a lot of good drush, but the bottom line is just this point itself, I just would like to draw out of it. So, and they were mekabel that this trua is exer shavah, trua, hamugah b'yoyvel. Ravata shavah, trua, masah shavah, kamah shavah. Now, how do we know it's a Yom HaDin? So obviously it's a Mesoris, because the Torah doesn't mention a thing about it, but it has a remez. Umashu Yom HaDin nirmaz b'mila zikaren. Kuloshen neifel al HaDin. Maskeres oven. V'umaske oven litofes. So the word zikaren is neifel al HaDin. V'chein loshen pekida midas hadin, v'loshen pekid avayin avis. Uv'peyosh amchazal pektenes ha'in gizuchaynes. I want to explain this point. So he says in the word zikaren itself and pekida, in as much as pekida zikaren, you also have a remez to a Yom HaDin. Let's explain this a little bit. Yes?
Is pekida up here in the psukim, or because Pekida is related to Zikaron, that's where we get to Din.
He said because Pekida is related to Zikaron and it's used for Pocket of Onovas. Uh-huh. And Chazal said Pekidainas like a Zikaronis. Now, Chazal said Pekidainas like a Zikaronis in terms of using it for Pashas of Zikaronos. And you see that Tzoba Hotali and so on and so forth. That's the way it's coming from. I mean, we do lay in Shem Pekat Asara and the Pekidas, but this is, but he means simply because the word pekida and zikaron do mean the same thing, and yet you find it on midas din like Pesach Nevus. I want to explain this a little bit. Without the mid of zikaron, for instance, when a person acts through a mid of chesed, so l'mashal, somebody comes to me and he says, I have a need, could I solicit a donation? So I respond, yes, no, X amount. When the person comes and tells me, well, last year you gave this and this amount, so yes, that's the way fundraise, and people do respond to it, but that's not a liba de emes, there is no such response. I mean, chesed is spontaneous, it's instantaneous, it deals with the here and the now. Chesed, by its definition, is not engendered by any cause. You didn't do anything that I owe you this. It's not, I did X amount of work for you and you owe me this amount, but rather it is, now I'm in the mood to give. I'm in a giving mood. Nothing's mechayev to me, and the fact that I gave you last year $1,000 doesn't mean I have to give you this year $1,000, and so on. Now, those are the attributes of chesed. The attribute of din is the accountability that I need to take all of the past into the chesed. This is how much you've worked, this is how much I've paid you. Accountability lies in zikaron. Zikaron is the method of accounting for something, and therefore, if it's a yom of zikaron, the remembrance means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I remember something that happened and it's not here today, it means because it has a consequence. It's because it's going to produce something. It's going to, that's the type of thing that Zikaron is. So Rabbi Mechaya tells us in Zikaron and in Pikdonos lies the Midas Hadin. And why is this so mysterious, more than anything else? Ha'inyin hu ma she'edu b'nyan et farsin ha'kdoisha oisem she'me pina tzadaf mikrea ki chol ma sha'inyin yoisen elam isep nimi hu yoisen sasem v'gam ha'loshen bo b'derach tzor minus matas. This is a klal that Rav Chaya says it, and he used it many places. It goes as follows. How in this relationship, we said before, Torah itself is one document, partially written, partially oral. How do we decide, how did the Torah decide, the ratio between the written and the oral? So the klal is like this. Things that can be expressed more clearly in words that are pshuto shel mikra, those things are spelled out more. When you write it for everybody, and the explanation lies on the surface level of the words. When you say something to be understood, kipshuto means on the surface level of the words, and words themselves duly express what the content is. And those type of things were given to us kipshuto. The things that are hidden, for instance, Olam Haba is just about not mentioned in the Torah, except Arichus Yamim, Leman Yerichun Yamecha, because Olam Haba, the Rambam says, the Ibn Ezra says, these are things that they are not translatable. The Hamoinam could not understand it, so it's not just a question of Hamoinam. It doesn't really have words. The Torah itself is memayit on metaphor, and the words need to be pashut. So those in Yanim that don't have readily pashut words are not given as such. Kinya misses the tefillin, says she iskra akosav oyla oisav tarsenecha velule akabala. Without them, says, we wouldn't know what is tefillin, how many parshas, exactly where you put them, and so on and so forth. Same thing with tzitzis. Kiloshen Aksumi says, but the sosimot, the psukim are minimal. Gam bekan, be'echod lachoidesh, shehu tchilas cheshmas tzarnas Yom Kippur. We see something. Yom Kippur, we know what it is. And that's the 10th day. And this is the first day of those 10 days. 10 is a very important number. The first of those 10 is very important. Yesh be min asoid v'loma, shehu akosub listem v'lachtem v'ashanyin atar stumim. It's appropriate to that it not be mefurish. Ustimason kifi roiv halamason. As deep as something is, as abstruse, as abstract something is, that's how little of it, in direct proportion to that, that's how little of it is written out. Vizel inyan shein zichun olam neshan zifurish v'tar b'mazim. And that's why you don't get much in the Torah, very little about the Olam HaNeshamas. Ustimasa ve'lamasa. It's not written because it's be'etzem something hidden. Ki ha'Torah l'amon Yisrael. The Torah was given to Klal Yisrael as a whole. Lo lechin shem levad. Ve'inyan ha'Olam Ahu and Olam Haba, Yechidim don't get it. Not even all the Yechidim get it. And certainly not the general public. So Rabbi Mechaya says we added another knetch. He says it on a simple level, that on a practical level you don't want to discuss things that people don't know what they're talking about. They don't have any inkling, they don't have any feel for it, any intuition for it. We're saying even more than that, Torah itself is pshat, and pshuta mikra can't be written as pshuta mikra. The Torah will not say it. Yes.
Rabbi, I mean, if we're talking about Rosh Hashanah as Yom HaDin, I mean, even on a pshat level, I mean, din is something that most people could relate to.
Right. But not... Well, but the none of the din is this worldly din. In other words, we can also say about Om Haba, so it's full of pleasure. But Yetzias Mitzrayim was a physical event. You guys were working hard, schwitzing, terrible suffering, Kodesh Baruch Hu's sins, all of it are realities. The Yom HaDin doesn't have any really physical expression to it. I mean, somewhere up in Shemayah, Kodesh Baruch Hu is quote-unquote sitting on a Kisei HaKavod, quote-unquote, standing with the Malachim and the Mekatrigim, quote-unquote. You know, all of it is not physical realities. Now he says, and just he gives a reason why the Chidim don't understand it. He says, and it's not a question that it's so complicated, but what makes it difficult to understand? He says, just like a fish who goes in water can't understand fire, because it's the opposite of his world, this world of Seichel is the opposite of the world of Gashmi. And somebody physical cannot understand that which is Gashmius. Let's take a very simple example. Let's take a little child who wants to come with us to some lecture that somebody's giving. And we tell him, don't come, you're not going to enjoy it. So he says, well, if we don't enjoy it, why are you going? So I'll answer, well, I enjoy it greatly. And the child will say, well, so who says I won't enjoy it? I enjoy Yankel, he tells stories and they're funny and I can sit for hours and listen, so why can't I come and enjoy what you're listening to? And it's very hard for me to describe to the child that I enjoy the depth of what he's saying, the brilliance of his approach. It's not a world that connects anyway. So if you give these terminologies and you make them common, what you do is you'll degrade it. So people think of Olam Haba in terms of a beach, of air conditioning. If they're physical beings, they transfer everything to physical things, and that becomes a corruption of it. Okay, so this is all just an introduction, but it's valuable in its own right. Ubimedrish. Be'echad l'chodesh lachem shabbosayin zichron truah mikro kodesh. Be'echad l'chodesh avrom. It says echrei avrom. Zichron truah ze yitzchok. Mikro kodesh ze Yaakov. So Chazal say that be'echad l'chodesh is avrom, because echrei avrom, zichron truah is yitzchok, mikro kodesh is Yaakov. Kavanas ha-medrash hazeh, the kavan of this medrash is kitkiyeh so Rosh Hashanah remez lemidois. There are Rosh Hashanah, the tkiyeh Rosh Hashanah is a remez for the midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'kesheim she-midas ha-pachad lemala harachmim ha-kifin oisa. If, just like the mid of pachad, which gvur or pachad synonymous, the midas of rachmim surrounds it, shel mole keino yamachre v'servas ha-olam it would have destroyed and consumed the world in its fire. Kena trua pshuta lefanei pshuta lecheo. Trua is something which must have a pshuta atkiya lefanei atkiya lecheo. Vilo hoya toiken trua levada oyner v'zakizas metiyas. And if we would just have a trua, it would be almost kfira, kizas metiyas. Let's lefi aderech hazeh hari bekosu mifurish. Yom Rosh Hashanah Yom HaDin Hu Lashon Trua. The word from the word Yom HaDin is Lashon Trua. V'hu Berachmim Lashon Zikaron. Let's talk about this because this is really the heart of it, and this is the heart of what the Ramban says over here, and so on. What we're doing on Rosh Hashanah is the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu is judging us. He's judging us. What else can we do? What can we do about it? I mean, you know, the evidence is there. We can't delay the case. I mean, what are the tools available for us? The lawyers are not going to do much. The evidence is photographed. It's videoed. So what is it? We're being judged. That's it. Fine, we can plead for Rachman, but that seems to be a very, very really insignificant thing. I mean, sort of pleading for our lives despite the fact that the evidence is stacked against us. It's not an avoda. It's much deeper than that. We become partners in Midas Hadin in the following way. Let's say somebody is in school. Let's say somebody's in work. Let's say somebody's in an environment where someone holds him in and takes him to task and criticizes him. Now, our reaction usually is to be defensive. Either defensive or to be depressed, kind of. Either we deny it, we don't want to think about it, we accuse the other person, or we just sort of dry up, wilt, and get out. Those are the halach, that's how we deal with din, because din is very powerful. If somebody comes in and criticizes us, he's devastated us. You know, you're doing a lousy job, you're missing out things, you're sloppy, you don't get the point, etc., etc., etc. The midas hadin to us is, it's our enemy. In other words, it is the prosecutor. Nothing good about the prosecutor. The job of midas hadin is to find my faults, and meaning he's there to break me up. He's there to test everything. It's a lashon the Chazal say about it, nisayon. It's like you take, if you want to take glass and test it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Satan, Reb Satan, you know, Eov is the best product we ever put out. And the Satan says, well, let my lab get to work on him, and we'll see very soon the cracks. Put enough pressure, put enough heat, it'll crack. You give me, you know, just give me the right facilities and I do it for you. So the Satan is all bad, and Midas HaDin, which is the crux of the Bria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world b'din. Mechaya Eschem b'din, and the Kalka Eschem b'din. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be Baris Olam b'midas HaDin. So midas HaDin is really the ruts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's a very devastating thing. How does one get around din? So besides the defense and so on, there's another way. Let's say I have a worker. And let's say my criticism is honest. And it's, you know, I'm not because I hate him particularly, I need the work done, and he's not doing very BSC. If the person listens and says, okay, I get it, I would like to be the worker that will do X, Y, and Z, I now that I have the analysis of what I'm doing bad, I'm going to flip around, I'm going to change it. So what he's done is he's made the Midas HaDin part of a larger picture whose goal is actually to do good, to be good, to do good, and Midas HaDin becomes part of a much larger picture, and that's a type of worker that usually is even more valuable than the guy who's just straight out good. The person that will take criticism honestly and then use it as the tool to sharpen his work, a person has a Talmud. The best Talmud in a certain sense is not the Talmud who's excellent to start with, that's great, but there's nothing, not much happening, but the one that when you point out an issue, the person listens, and the person can take it objectively, and then fix himself based on it. That's a real relationship. So there the criticism is not the definition of the person, but it's the tool to bring the perfection that the person is supposed to be. So our shutfis to midas, our approach to midas hadin is the approach of someone taking that criticism and using it to build a big picture. There's an oimek to what he's saying, that if you have just the midas hadin, you just have, it's almost as if mikatzes benetias. Mikatzes benetias is a phrase that Rishonim used, Ramban, Rabbeinu Bachaya, to describe a certain type of kfira. Specifically, it's the type of kfira that's described is a type of kfira where somebody takes different midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, makes them into ends unto themselves, and not into great products. He sort of he takes HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas HaChesed and becomes an end to itself, and takes Midas HaDin becomes an end to itself, and so on. I want to explain it specifically here. Mekatzes benetias means if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world to destroy it, then Chas V'Shalom the world is imperfect. Chas V'Shalom the world is keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, this piece is against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chuck it out. This piece is not doing its job, chuck it out. That means there are pieces being ripped off the big tree. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu created things in the world, not that they're not perfect, but they are be'etzim not perfect, which means they're not part of the divine will or plan. That is tantamount to kfira. What we do is we take the midas hadin and understand it as part of a bigger picture. The world is something that's perfecting itself, and the perfection of itself is really really what the world's about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a rutzen of perfection, of good, of perfection. That's the tekiya. That rutzen, that will, doesn't come out, and the at first glance, the imperfections, the first set of imperfections, are pointed out in Midas Adin, and when the person is metaken it, he gets the other Midas Arachmin. There's a beautiful story from the Breslova. The Breslova's stories, most of them are very complex and very difficult stories. They're metaphors, and but there's one of the small stories that are really, really is an awesome mashal. It goes like this. A king once sent his son for 7 years to learn a trade, an art, let's call it. As kings don't go for trades, they go for arts. And he sent him to, he come back after 7 years, and the king asked him, okay, my son, what did you learn? He said, he learned how to make lamps, chandeliers, lamps. So he said, fine, let's see an example. So he makes a lamp, and then he calls in the people of the kingdom to look at the lamp and to give, critique, or to say what they think about it. I guess he must have been a very benevolent king, because people were not afraid to say. After there was a showing and everybody went through it, the son asked the father, "No, what did everybody say?" So I'll tell you the truth, they didn't really care for it. They found fault with the lamp. So the son asked the father, "Tell me, did everyone point out the same fault, or everyone found a different fault?" So the father said, "You know, come to think of it, everybody had found a different fault." So he said, "So that's proof that the fault is not in the lamp, but in each and every person himself. It's a projection of his own fault onto the lamp. Is there a better lamp?" He said, "Let them go home now, work on the particular fault that they pointed out. They'll come back, they'll see that the lamp is perfect." And then he concluded and said, "Is there a better lamp in the world than the one that can shine, illuminate your faults?" That's the story. In other words, the sense that I want to draw from the story is that the Midas Hadin is there as a way to take a world which has potential to be perfect, and it will end up being perfect. And the musig of the criticism, we're afraid to criticize because either we're oblivious, that's really bad, or people don't know what to do with it. They just, you know, you've tried a few times to change, and don't change, so we just disregard it. But understanding Rosh Hashanah is we shtalzach zu to din with the attitude that our potential is perfection, and this is just a step onto a road of perfecting ourselves. There's a very nice story. Rav Meir Chodesh was mashkiach in heaven. He was mashkiach, ultimate mashkiach. And he once called in a bacha, the person himself tells over the story, and he told him, "You know, I think you should be learning a lot more shtaka." So the person made some effort. He calls him back next week and he says, "You know, you're learning better and stronger, but there's no real oomph in that learning. It's kind of fine. You put a few more patches on it." He called him back the next time and he says, "Listen, if nothing changes after this third time, then I will regretfully have to conclude that you're not a person that understands criticism, and I will never ever criticize you again. I'm warning you." And that really shook up the bacha. But that's the attitude. In other words, din is powerful, and din needs to be done, it needs to illuminate with no punches pulled, and it needs to be as frank and as candid and as brilliant as it can be, but the person needs to understand where it's coming from, where it's going to. It's a yom of trua, but it's zichron trua. In this context, using on a pashut level, zichron is din. On a deeper level, the zichron is the mediating factor. It's what connects the Midas Hadin with the previous. So the person understands the Shamash Nasa to be Tahirahi, that was, Vata'osid Lachzir Meni, is what will be. Those are perfect, those are divine. In the middle, the process requires that to be megala, the cracks and the flaws, to be attacking them, and then we bring out the perfection that was there all the time. Shana Teva, Tegasev HaSeimu, Akut Kibben Shia.